Trend number one, understanding how we decide. Through brain imaging techniques, scientists have now created a fairly detailed map of what the brain does during a typical decision-making experience. In one experiment, the researchers recruited students and gave each an amount of money. Then they gave the students the opportunity to make various purchases, such as gourmet chocolates or a new Harry Potter book. The researchers monitored the students' brains as the students made their choices. If a student saw something he wanted, the nucleus accumbens was activated. That's a brain area associated with a neurotransmitter, dopamine, which is involved in motivation and desire. When the student was then shown the price of the item, the insula and the prefrontal cortex were both activated. The insula is associated with feelings of aversion. If you see a bad auto accident, for example, the insula is activated. It's also activated in most people in connection with spending money. The prefrontal cortex is associated with linear reasoning, which suggests that the students were calculating the costs versus how much money they had to spend. In this way, emotional components of the brain, such as the insula and nucleus accumbens, are competing for attention with the logical parts of the brain. The scientists found that they could actually predict what the students were going to buy based on the intensity of this debate going on in their brains. In fact, they could tell what the student would buy before the student realized that he had made up his mind. If the insula was more active than the nucleus accumbens, for example, the researchers knew that aversion would win out, and the student wouldn't make the purchase. But if the good feelings promoted by the nucleus accumbens outweigh the negative feelings of the insula, the student would buy. The prefrontal cortex could also participate in the decision, if, for example, it concluded that the deal was very favorable. But the take-home message was that the emotional components of the brain held a very powerful sway over purchasing decisions. In fact, in many of the trials, the prefrontal cortex didn't participate at all. That's one reason that surveying buyers about their shopping decisions simply doesn't work very well. As soon as people start analyzing themselves, they lose touch with their feelings. In any event, most of the time, those feelings don't rise to the level of consciousness anyway. So shoppers really don't know why they're buying something. This arrangement in the brain, in which different areas compete for attention and in which emotional areas can exert disproportionate influence, results in various kinds of bias that can adversely affect decision-making and behavior. In one experiment, two groups of students were told that they were being tested on unscrambling words into meaningful sentences. One group was given scrambled sentences in which all the words were neutral. The other group was given sentences laced with words such as worried, Florida, old, lonely, and bingo. That is, words associated with old age. Unknown to the students, another researcher was timing how fast they walked down the hall on the way into the experiment and on the way out. Those who took the test with the word suggesting aging walked significantly slower when leaving the test. Their emotional system had picked up on the concept of aging and had unconsciously modified their behavior. They were not even aware that they were walking more slowly. That bias is called priming, and it has been demonstrated in numerous other settings. For example, according to an article in the Journal of Consumer Research, passing a number of people on the street who are carrying a cup of Starbucks coffee can cause you to buy a Starbucks yourself. Another kind of bias is called confirmation bias. It means that people tend to interpret any information as confirming the views they already hold. They tend to discount or ignore evidence that contradicts their view, according to an article in the Conference Board Review. Often, completely irrelevant factors will influence how we make decisions. For example, psychologists at Ghent University in Belgium reported in the journal Psychological Science that people are more likely to choose to work for a company whose initials match their own. Many of these biasing effects can be traced to actual brain functions that are being studied by neuroscientists and can be explained through brain chemistry. For example, researchers at the National University of Singapore published a report in the Journal of Consumer Research showing that when people are in a good mood, they tend to buy the first thing they see, while people who are feeling sad do not. The explanation lies in the function of dopamine. When you are happy, dopamine levels rise. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that is intimately involved with motivating action. So it's more likely that a consumer will take action when he's happy than when he's sad and dopamine levels are lower. Likewise, psychologists at the University of Chicago and the University of Georgia reported in the Journal of Consumer Research that simply looking at a smiling face increases the ability to think more broadly and abstractly to attain future goals. How can we manage in a world where our own behavior seems to be controlled by processes that seem out of the reach of conscious rational thought? Consider the following four forecasts. First, people who are simply motivated to learn about the way their brains work will experience enhanced performance. Just knowing about an unconscious influence in our decision-making process lessens its effects. It's well known among experimental psychologists that once a participant recognizes a bias, it has much less influence on his behavior. Second, as a consequence, business leaders and even business schools will make a concerted effort to educate their constituents on the new behavioral sciences, and such disciplines as behavioral finance and neuromarketing will receive a lot more attention. In fact, New York University now offers a course called the Kiefer Brain Gymnasium to improve cognitive processes, increase creativity, and generally boost performance. Third, helping people to improve cognitive functions and decision-making will become a booming entrepreneurial business. Already, these areas of study are the subject of numerous best-selling books. Those who can develop programs and techniques with a proven track record will find an eager audience among business executives and others who wish to manage risk and build a competitive advantage out of better decision-making. And fourth, as neuroscience and behavioral science improve and sharpen their techniques, more and more effective methods will be developed to employ the brain's tremendous power and apply it to countless social, political, and technical problems. These enhanced decision-making tools will speed up the progress of technology in such areas as energy, material science, and medicine. Improved perception and cognitive data processing, for example, would make medical diagnostics much more accurate and could save lives.